have a new top story. Lamar Jackson out. And here comes Lamar Jackson. Dun, dun, dun,
dun. Just to clarify, you didn't have to use the bathroom or anything in the back, right? You know, there was a lot of talk on social media that you were kind of like jogging, like you had to use the bathroom or something.
No, I was cramping. I ain't putting a Paul Pierce. I didn't put a Paul Pierce. I was cramping.
Lamar Jackson says he did not pull a Paul Pierce on Monday Night Football. No, well, we have Paul Pierce here. Is that BS or real talk?
That's BS. He went out. He went to the back and found out his injury wasn't as bad as he thought, and he came back in just like I did. I don't know where this came from that I had to go to the bathroom. Come on now. Come on, Lamar. That's BS.
I'm glad you called it BS.
That's BS.
S. Big S. Capital S. Lots of S.
And
everywhere.
Come on. Don't do me like this. Don't do me like this.
You look so light and frisky afterwards.
Hey, but hold on.
How did it cure you, man?
I got wheeled off. It looked like he did have to go to the bathroom. I wouldn't. If I had to go to the bathroom, I wouldn't have took a wheelchair there. I'm telling you.
I'm just going to move on because we had so much in this show, and I can see both of you are going to get me into trouble.
Oh, my goodness.
Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols. I'm alongside our front office insider, Amin Al-Hassan, our NBA Finals MVP, Paul Pierce. Ric Flair is dropping by the show in a little bit, guys. So if you want to see me turn into a starstruck kid, can stick around for that. Also coming up, Amin is going to break down what life will be like for Steph without Klay this season. And Paul will tell us his realistic expectations for the two-time MVP. First, though, we begin with breaking news coming out of Milwaukee. Giannis Antetokounmpo is signing the Supermax extension with the Bucks. His agent, Northwestern's own Alex Tsiratsis, told ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski that it will be for the full 5-year, $228 million, including an opt-out after the fourth year. And here's Giannis himself on Twitter and Instagram saying, "This is my home. This is my city. I am blessed to be a part of the Milwaukee Bucks for the next 5 years. Let's make these years count. The show goes on. Let's get it." I now welcome in ESPN's NBA reporter Malika Andrews to the show. Malika, what motivated Giannis to sign this extension now and not wait until after the season when the same deal would have been on the table for him?
Well, Rachel, he really, this is a place. You heard him in his Instagram post. Milwaukee is home. And so as he's weighing this decision, you have to remember that hanging over him the entire time is just how much he cares about this franchise and this city. And so we know that he was weighing the potential to win in Milwaukee with what he loves, the city, his family, and can all of that gel? And at the end of the day, Giannis is sitting there and decides, you know what, I'm going to put all of these three things that are the most important to me on one side of the scale, give them my signature. That is a vote of confidence, a vote of faith that he believes not only in the warm, feel-good story of Giannis coming to Milwaukee, drinking a smoothie for the first time, and getting a taste of the American dream, but also that he genuinely feels that this is a place that he would like to invest in as a place that he can win a championship, because that is his ultimate goal.
Yeah, and you have to think him signing it now says something about what the Bucks have done for the past month, and it's been quite a ride, right? The Bucks make the Jrue Holiday deal in an obvious effort to show Giannis how serious they are about winning. They try to make the deal for Bogdan Bogdanovic. That gets bungled. Giannis comes back to Milwaukee from Greece, doesn't sign right away. His teammates all give him pens for his birthday. He still doesn't sign. And now, finally, today, we get the announcement. How nervous was ownership and the front office specifically about whether this would happen or not?
You know, I think that ownership in the front office, from the folks that I've been talking to, they've been in constant communication with Giannis and with Alex Tsiratsis, making it very clear of what their intentions were. It was always, the offer was always on the table. And sure, as they marched towards this deadline, this date of the 21st, there were nerves that creeped up. But really, from the folks that I've been talking to, it was the coaching staff, his teammates, that were starting to wonder, hey, what is the season going to look like? Not whether or not Giannis is going to necessarily be here for the next 5 years, but how is it going to look for us right now this season? I got one text from someone within the organization after he signed that was just a gif of someone looking incredibly relieved, wiping sweat off of their face. So obviously it's a joyous day in Milwaukee, but yes, this is a team that really wanted to keep their superstar, and the closer they got to that deadline, the more the nerves were kind of bubbling up inside them.
Well, they can all relax today, Malika. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. And I'm now going to welcome Amin and Paul back in. We're going to break down just expectations for Giannis's play now that he's set to become the highest paid player in the NBA. And Paul, you're a finals MVP. You have carried the weight of an entire organization on your shoulders. There were years in Boston, it was you. Yeah, what are your expectations for Giannis? Because no matter who they put around him, it's Giannis in Milwaukee.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he's going to continue to be dominant. And what this tells me when he signs this deal is when you look at this generation superstars, when you look at LeBron and KD, how they went about getting their championships, he wants his legacy to be built on his back, not going somewhere else. He said, we want to bring the players to Milwaukee. I don't want to have to go anywhere else. And that's the sign of an old school player mentality, because when I hear him speak in his interviews, he doesn't go work out with the other superstars. You know, he doesn't want to be friends with them. He's engulfed himself right here in Milwaukee. He says, listen, I'm going to build my legacy right here. I don't care what anybody else says, all the rumors about going to Toronto, Miami, Golden State. Nah, we're going to do it right here in Milwaukee. And you got 228 million reasons why you want to stay also. So that's a pretty good reason also.
Hey, man, that money, woo! That's a lot of heroes right there. But Rachel, you know what today is? I know a lot of people are going to say this is a triumph for small market teams. Look, they can actually do it. They can keep their stars. I'm here to say no. This is a day of triumph for teams that are well run. You pointed out, Rachel, when you're talking to Malika right there, this is a team that has made a bunch of moves, not just this year, over the last 2 or 3 years, to put themselves in this position, to be a perennial contender. Well-owned, well-managed, well-coached. Does that mean they're perfect? No. Everyone's got room for improvement, and we know what Milwaukee's is. We talked about it ad nauseum for months, it seems. But the reality is, this is a very well-run organization, and players want to be somewhere that feel like you are taking care of my legacy. Not taking care of me by giving me treats and treating my family nice. Taking care of my legacy. Am I going to be remembered as one of the greats or as a failure? Are you doing everything to remind everybody how great I am? And that means putting together the right situation around me so that we can win some championships. And I think Milwaukee has done that. Congratulations to the Bucks organization.
I'm so glad you said that, because this is not a referendum, by the way, on small markets. It is not also a referendum on the Supermax. The Supermax is a bribe. And Giannis did not sign this deal because he wanted extra money. I know, Paul, I agree with you. Hey, $228 million is fantastic to have in the bank account. But anyone who has spent time around Giannis knows that is not what makes him tick. The fact that he felt that this team had done right by him, his loyalty to this group, the way Milwaukee had operated through his time with the franchise, that's the referendum. That's what this is about. Trying to bribe players to stay with bad teams, it's never going to work. And I have heard people say over the past year or two, hey, when the next CBA comes up, they've really got to address it. How can they keep these players with these teams? Money isn't the answer. It's how you run the team. Right,
absolutely.
Paul?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, Milwaukee's been a Class A organization. Bud has been a great coach. You see ownership trying to get the pieces around him to further advance his legacy and win a championship. So that's very important. And culture also. He loves the culture there in Milwaukee.
Absolutely. And, I mean, now this is going to cause ripple effects around the league. You had a number of teams, Dallas, Miami, who were holding some room for Giannis for next season, for next offseason. Right. What kind of effect do you see this having around the NBA?
Well, I think the first thing that's going to happen is the James Harden market's about to warm up a lot more than it has in the last couple of weeks. Everyone's kind of in a holding pattern trying to see, what's Giannis going to do? If I have a shot at Giannis, I want Giannis. But now knowing that he's off the table, now we might be willing to give up some assets, because here's the thing about James Harden that makes him special as a trade target beyond being a perennial MVP candidate. He's a guy who's under contract for this year, next year, and a player option after that. So you get at least 2 solid years of James Harden. That's something worth giving up assets for.
Absolutely. And Paul, do you think that this means that other teams are going to look at the Bucks a little bit differently because, hey, they kept Giannis?
Yeah, I mean, players around the league see this, and when you have a great player in place as a foundation, it doesn't matter if you're Milwaukee. Like you said, it's how you run your organization. So now when free agency comes,
that's what I want.
Guys, yes, are going to look like, hey, I can go to Milwaukee and play because of Giannis signing this long-term deal and having great organization culture there. And so that their teams around the league are definitely looking at this, and players.
Absolutely. Okay, coming up, we're going to talk a little bit more about all the rest of what's going around the NBA. James Harden's debut. Make or miss is back in full effect. Stick around to see what Zion, Ja, LaMelo did to make today's cut. So I may have only mentioned this 10,000 times. Coming up later on The Jump, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, stopping by to discuss his sneaker collab with Damian Lillard. And here is Rick's take now on one of our favorite segments.
It's a make or miss league, and that's coming from the limousine riding, jet flying, Rolex wearing, diamond ring wearing, kiss stealing, wheeling dealing, son of a gun, Ric Flair. Woo!
I love it.
Paul Pierce talking along to every word of that. Miss restrictions in 33 minutes last night. Zion Williamson, 26 points, 11 rebounds. Take those restrictions out of here.
Take them off.
That guy can go.
All
right. Is this a sign of things to come, Paul?
Absolutely. He looks great in the preseason. It's preseason, but this guy is the real deal.
Yeah, I wish Alvin got this version of Zion, but hey, let's just say this. He's got a rebound. He's got a defense for Stan Van Gundy to be satisfied. So
yes,
good luck, young fella.
Absolutely. And, of course, I mean, I agree. Alvin was trying to get those restrictions off all last season, but hey, they're off now. Make sophomores Ja Morant had this explosive dunk last night. Do you think that the Rookie of the Year is going to take a big leap in year two, Amin?
I say yes, but I don't know what kind of leap his team's going to make, Rachel. I'm thinking that the Grizzlies are going to get scouted a little bit better this year.
You know what, he's going to be, I know there's not going to be an all-star game, but he's going to be an all-star.
Yeah.
I mean, this kid is ultra-talented.
Yes.
He is going to be, in the next 2 years, the best point guard in the league. Mark my words.
Just so much fun to watch, and exactly the kind of young man you want on your team.
He's who De'Aaron Fox thinks he is.
Amin El-Hassan. Why you got to be like that? De'Aaron Fox is just watching his TV quietly in the living room, in the training room. Come on. Miss ceiling.
That's fired.
Yeah.
LaMelo Ball has been dishing dimes this preseason. Paul, is his passing even better than advertised?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one thing he can do. It runs in the Ball family, obviously. I mean, he knows his big brother's a great passer, but he has just a great flair for the passing. You can see him throw these around-the-back passes, these lobs. I'm excited to watch this kid. And when I'm watching these highlights of him, Morant, and Zion, let me tell you something. The league is in great hands moving forward.
Amen. Absolutely.
Amen.
All right,
Rachel, I'm going to say it's as advertised because my guy Fran Fraschilla called it. He said he's a great passer. It's the shooting we have questions about.
All right, I want to run it back to some ridiculous rookie plays. Fifth overall pick, Isaac Okoro had an and one to win the game for the Cavaliers on Saturday. Take a look at this. Kid looks good.
I like how excited everybody is. Even though it's preseason, hey, you got to build on something.
Also on Saturday, undrafted Nuggets rookie Facundo Campazzo dropping the Jokic-style dime.
Let's ease up on undrafted rookie. This dude's like 35 years old, coming from Real Madrid. He's an old man.
Sunday, Magic rookie Cole Anthony, you know who he is, dropping a Hawks defender, completing the highlight with a made jumper.
I mean, he pushed him down, but it's a good move. It's a good move. He didn't drop him.
That's a flop. That's a flop.
Yeah, that was a flop. That was a good move, but you got to watch out for the kid. I really like Cole Anthony.
Absolutely. He got it from his daddy. All right, let's change gears, talk about the Warriors. They take on the Kings tonight in their second preseason game. Steph Curry, 10 points in 21 minutes in the first one. Paul, what are your expectations for the former two-time MVP again without Klay Thompson for another season.
He's going to be great. You know, you can't underestimate greatness. But this is going to be one of his toughest seasons, I believe, because he doesn't have his running mate backcourt guy. He's going to see more defensive schemes thrown at him that he didn't have before because you couldn't. You know, when you had Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant, you couldn't trap this guy off pick and rolls. You couldn't switch as much. And now he's going to see defenses that can zoom in on him a little bit better now. So it's going to be a tough year for him, but I still expect him to have big numbers.
Yeah, Rachel, I agree. It's not going to be as tough as it was last year, Paul. That's the good news.
Right.
It's a little, the roster is a little better. They got him some better supporting cast, but it's still kind of the thing that people don't talk about enough, which was the Warriors had such a great supporting cast around Steph before, and now it's a lot of young guys and a lot of guys who haven't won a lot. But we look at the tape right here. You watch Klay's going to go set a pin-down screen for Steph, and right here, you see Jerome Robinson switches out. He's denying the pass. As he comes out, they should trap him right here. But Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is so worried about Klay that he runs after him. He doesn't even see Steph.
Right.
Thus leading the layup. That's the power of Klay Thompson. Not just a great shooter, but a guy who knows how to move off the ball. This is another version of this. Again, Klay with the split cut screen there. The defender can't get over. The other defender doesn't help. Steph hits shots. Now, look at the opposite here. This is without Klay. Look how many Clipper defenders there are looking at him. D'Angelo Russell, and I believe that's Jacob Moore over there in the corner, they don't move. What Klay does so well is he moves. It's not just being a great shooter. Moving makes it so that the defenders can't zero in and lock in on you. Same thing coming down here. Look at this. One, two, three, four. Kyle Lowry on the weak side. He's not even hugged up on his man. They're all guarding Steph. Meanwhile, Wiggins, the screener, they're just hanging around. The more you stand still around Steph Curry, the harder it is for him to get the space to create the shot, to create the havoc. The Warriors' offense is all built on people moving at all times. And to be honest with you, that was something they had a problem with Kevin Durant towards the end. He just liked to stand still because he didn't want to do all that moving anymore, and that makes the offense grind.
And, I mean, it's another layer, too, on top of all of that clips and those video. It's the physicality people have against Steph. I certainly remember, right, in the 2016 finals, one of the things the Cavs did is they went and physically beat Steph up. How much more of that do we expect without Klay there?
I mean, again, he's the one target of all this, and this all depends on what everybody else does. What a Kelly Oubre or a Wiggins or a Wiseman, can these guys bring something to the table that allows Steph the freedom of movement? Because the whole thing is when everyone's moving, everyone's a threat. Every cut is a live cut. When we're playing that way, it makes it a lot harder to zero in on any one guy.
Absolutely. All right. Well, it's going to be interesting. If anyone's up for it, it's Steph Curry, but we will have to see. Thanks, Amin, for that. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at Karl-Anthony Towns' painful road back to the court after losing his mother and several other family members to COVID-19. You're watching The Jump. There's a reason that a lot of professional athletes have a hard time when they retire, because being, say, a basketball player isn't just what they do. It's who they are. From grade school on, it's, see that kid? He's that basketball player. Or, guess who I've got in my English class? That basketball player. And being that person influences every aspect of their lives, from what college they attend, to where they live, to the house or car they can buy. Karl-Anthony Towns is no exception. For the better part of two decades, if you asked him who he was, he would tell you he was a basketball player. But then this year happened. COVID came. The NBA season shut down. And in April, Cat's life shut down, when his effervescent mother, Jackie, became an early casualty of the virus. If you've heard a lot of people in the media talk about Jackie, it's because so many of us spent time with her. She and Towns' dad were just always there at games, at charity events. She was the glue of not just the Towns family, but the Timberwolves family. And her death absolutely wrecked Carl, who later revealed it had been him, at 24 years old, who'd had to give the okay to take his mom off life support. I honestly don't know how you wake up every day after something like that, but Carl did, and it just got harder as COVID ripped through his extended family. Relatives getting each other sick like dominoes. The night before Carl started training camp, he got a call his uncle had passed, bringing the death toll in his family to 7. And of the family, it's Carl who is the basketball player, right? Which means he's the one with the pro athlete resources and connections to try to help, as he described to us last week.
I'm just trying my best to keep my family safe, you know, just like my mom. So I'm trying to keep my sister, the kids, my dad out of harm's way, keep my family out of harm's way. I've seen a lot of coffins in the last 7 months, but 8 months, but you know, I have a lot of people who are, who have in my family, my mom's family, who have gotten COVID, and I'm the one looking for answers still, trying to find how to keep them healthy. So, you know, it's just a lot of responsibility, you know, a lot of responsibility on me to keep my family well informed and to make all the moves necessary to keep them alive.
That's a tremendous burden to carry while also trying to start doing your job again. Towns is fortunate to play for a team that's wrapped its arms around him. Coach Ryan Saunders, of course, knows what it's like to lose a parent young. He was 29 when his father, Flip, died. Ricky Rubio, too, he was 25 when he lost his mom. But there's only so much anyone on the team can say or do, and how hard this has been obvious in both of the Wolves' preseason games. On Saturday, Towns couldn't even get off the bench for introductions. As Saunders explained later, doing so would have made it real, right? That he was really about to play his first game without Jackie in the building. And the weight of that was so heavy, Carl could not even stand under it. Of course, Carl is also a pro, so he did eventually get up, and he did play not just that game, but another last night. His usual efficiency just wasn't there, though. Last night, he made just 3 of 12 shots. He turned the ball over 4 times. Now, I would think that as he gets into a better rhythm, as his team with some new faces gets to practice together more, he will regain his all-star form. But he's also made it clear he's never going to be the same person he used to be. He said that he's been humbled and also hardened by what happened, and that every day forward, he will be marked by this awful year. From now on, hooping will just be the job he has, not who he is. From now on, he's not that basketball player. From now on, who he is, first and foremost, is Jackie Towns' son. I mean, what is your reaction to everything that Carl Anthony Towns has gone through and then had to get on a basketball court? I'm overwhelmed by it.
Yeah, it's such a sad story, Rachel, and I think you hit the mark when you said this is a guy who's got a lot of money, makes $30 million a year, he's got connections, he can call the commissioner of the league, who can call almost anybody of power, of note in this country. With all those connections and all that money, didn't mean anything. This is a virus that doesn't do credit checks. This is a virus that doesn't care who you are. It's indiscriminate in that way. And in the same way, you have multiple family members, chief among them your mother, has passed away, and you got to walk around every day and see people everywhere disregarding safety protocols to go get a drink or to do whatever it is they want. And that's pretty much what ended up that virus spreading, ended up taking away so many family members from Carl. So I can't imagine what that feels like. And beyond the hurt and the pain, there's got to be some level of anger, right? When you look around at how we've treated this virus as a country, you got to be angry if you're Carl Anthony Towns or anyone else who's lost someone to it, because you feel like there are people out there who just aren't taking this seriously, whether they're not following protocols or even worse, the people who say it's a hoax or other kind of foolish kind of remarks. That has to make you so incredibly angry if you're Carl Anthony Towns or anybody else in his position.
And Paul, people were talking to Carl last week and saying, oh, is basketball therapy for you? Is it an escape? And he said no. He said that there's no escape from this. There's no therapy for this. Yet he has to still go play basketball. You have had to play when you've had tremendous weights off the court. How do you do it?
Well, it's tremendously hard. And what this tells me is, and let the fans know and people know, that we're human. You know, we're not immune to the problems and the pressures that goes on in everyday life. Yes, he has the money. Yes, he has resources. It didn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not immune to these problems that happen in people's everyday lives. And people have to understand that, yes, we step on the court as basketball players. We're looked up to as role model, but we're not superhuman. You know, we can't, you know, cure diseases. We can't, like you said, get the vaccine before anybody else. Yep. I mean, you know, we still faced with everyday life just like everyone else. And I just hope people understand that as he goes through this hardship of this season and understanding if he doesn't perform at the same level he's done in the past, I mean, you see why.
Yeah. I do want to compliment Carl for just going out there. Yeah. I mean.
I just want to throw in also, there's this thing that people believe that guys play better when there's a tragedy that's happened. They think of Brett Favre, the day his father died, and going on to Monday Night Football and playing well. Everyone processes grief differently. Mm-hmm. Some guys, they go onto the playing field, and it takes their mind off of it. For other guys, it's a constant reminder of who's missing from their lives and who's usually there and not there. I know we had a player when I was with the Suns. I'm not going to say his name, but we signed him after he had kind of dropped out of the league because his mother had passed away and he kind of didn't want to play basketball anymore. So a few months later, his agent says, no, he's over it. He's ready. He comes, he signs with us, and he was incredibly talented. But you could tell the joy and the spark in his life wasn't there anymore. And that's just how everyone is different. And so we should all be very patient. We'll call Anthony Towns as he goes through this.
And we hear there's the expression, oh, this person lights up a room when they walk in. Jackie lit up an arena when she walked into it, the whole damn thing. So, you know, we wish Carl and his family the best and the whole Timberwolves organization, which has been right by him through all of this. We will be watching them and supporting them as they go through this season. All right, guys, coming up on this show, I have been, I don't know, I don't know if I've been more excited for a guest. Poor Paul has had to deal with me all day leading up to this. The Nature Boy, Ric Flair, stopping by to discuss his sneaker collab with Damian Lillard. He's going to give us his take on Giannis signing the extension, too. I'm telling you, he's got opinions on the NBA. Do not go anywhere.
Well, man, I'm excited about this one.
Our next guest is a 16-time world champion, two-time WWE Hall of Famer, member of the legendary Four Horsemen, and overall pop culture icon, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, joins the Jump. Ric, I'm so excited I could barely get that introduction out. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, thank you, Rachel. I'm a big fan of the show. I'm honored.
Take that anytime. Now, as soon as we saw your sneaker collab with Damian Lillard and Adidas, we were dying to have you on. The Dame Sevens were inspired by you. How did this partnership with Lillard come about?
Well, I'm told, and of course I know now, I was told that he was a huge wrestling fan maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And then Adidas approached me and asking if I'd be interested. I said, absolutely. I think that I'm Damian's second favorite wrestler to Steve Austin. And so Steve got to go first, which I'll never get over personally.
I get it.
I was so jealous. I called Steve. I said, you don't even watch basketball, man. What's up with that? But Steve's, one of the greatest. So they called me and said, Damian wants to do a shoot with you too. And I said, boy, that is absolutely fantastic. So we probably would have, had this launch earlier, but the COVID has caused problems,
sure,
with product delay and that. But that finally came to fruition, and it was worth every minute of the wait to be part of it. But I'm following the Trailblazers now.
Absolutely. Well, we actually have the kicks here on set. We've been showing them to our audience. These sneakers designed after, you got some too. Of course you have them.
Got them right there.
Designed after the gold robe that you used to wear out into the ring.
Yes. Yep.
Do you feel that they captured it?
They did. And, I had like 36 or 38. I can't remember the exact number. That was one of my favorite robes, and WWE is actually in the process of building a Hall of Fame, a physical structure Hall of Fame in Orlando. It's been delayed too because of the COVID and that, but they bought it because they wanted to put that in there as something that I wore. They've been tremendous to me and at so many different levels, but this I'm after him now to give me a thing for the entertainment wing.
Absolutely. Now, by the way, you mentioned Adidas could have paired you with a couple different players. Damian Lillard, to me, feels like your perfect fit, just temper-wise, bravado, swag.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I had not met him in person. I've been to the All-Star game a couple times, and You know, I was hanging out with Barkley, who I'm very close to and love, as I'm sure you guys do. Yes. Who doesn't? And in New Orleans, and I went out with him and Shaq a couple times. And I just I just love basketball, and I love talking to him, and he's such a great guy. But I had not met Damian in person, but after speaking with him, and we have via Zoom a couple times, he's a fabulous guy, and I'm so happy for him. He got that max deal.
Yes.
And he's one of those guys that's going to stay loyal. I just saw where Giannis elected to stay with Milwaukee. I'm happy he made that decision.
I love this.
Free agency can make or break team. So, and, you know, I'm glad that even though it's a small market for him, it's not small to the people of Milwaukee. It's huge for Milwaukee. And I'm glad to see that he stayed, and because it can make the league lopsided, and it takes the fun out of it for everybody. So I'm very proud of him. I'm actually going to do a podcast with him, I think. So I'm a big fan. He's tremendous.
This is amazing. We have Ric Flair doing NBA commentary on The Jump. I think all of the nexuses of my life have just been made. Ric, you have transcended pro wrestling. You are a cultural icon. You're 71 years old. You're collaborating with NBA players on sneakers. You're appearing in music videos with the Migos and Bad Bunny. Why do you think you resonate with so many people far and wide so long after you made your mark in the ring?
You know, I was talking about that earlier today. I don't know. I think that, I actually live that life. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Thing that I did in the 80s and 90s, and as crazy as it was, but it was me. I mean, that's what made me. I think I had a lot of skill. I'm not putting myself down in terms of my skill and in-ring ability, but I had swag. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know that word until LeBron said I was the founder of it, but I always bought the Rolex watches, and as a shoe, I'm sure you've heard of Friedman's in Atlanta, and I bought over 100 pair of alligator shoes from Bruce, and at the store that all the NBA guys come and shop
yes.
at. The Eagle was like, Shaq wears a size 22, but I bought over 100 pairs of alligators from Bruce in the 80s and 90s. So
producer Danny says you've got a new Rolly on right now, that you're still like this. You're still all about this swag.
Hey, in honor of being on your show today, I had to be really tricked out. So
I love it. And I'm looking forward to you sending them to our entire crew in control room. So thank you for that, Ric.
Your shoes are rolling. I can do either.
I got to tell everybody that the Dame 7 Ric Flair collab is out today. It's available on Adidas.com, people. I don't think that you can get Ric Flair's Rolex on Adidas.com, but hey, look on the site. I don't know. Ric, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you.
We look forward to having you back.
Hey, I'm so honored. You guys have a tremendous show, and the NBA will be up and running in about a week, I guess 2 weeks, around Christmas, and I'll be watching every week or every day to see how you guys are handling and are critiquing, and it's a fun show to watch. So I'm very respectful of you and what you bring to basketball as well.
Well, that's a huge honor for me, Ric. Thank you. Thank you very much. We'll see you soon.
Okay, happy holidays.
You too. So cool. Coming up, James Harden is expected to finally make his preseason debut tonight. How do you expect James to respond on the court? We will discuss next on The Jump. Stick with us. Crunch time here on The Jump. Paul, aside from driving a Rolls Royce, what do you expect from Anthony Davis this season?
I expect him to be in the MVP conversation this year. I got him as a top three MVP candidate this year. The things that he could do on the court, unparalleled out here. And I just think the Lakers are going to be at the top of the West, top of the league as far as record-wise, and he's going to be in a serious conversation about winning MVP.
They are the favorites to repeat as champions. I think he's going to have another great season, all NBA, but he won't be league MVP as long as he plays with LeBron. Might be finals MVP, though.
Defensive player of the year? Maybe? Could be? Came in second in voting?
Maybe. Yeah.
Let's talk a little. Let's talk a little Chris Paul. When CP3 wasn't busy throwing lobs to DeAndre Ayton last night, he was coaching his teammates on the sideline. So, Amin, in addition to the all-star caliber play we expect from Chris, what will his veteran presence mean to that Suns team this season?
Look, I watched his game last night, and, you know, he's going to be great for that young man right there, DeAndre Ayton, as far as getting him buckets and making him maximize his potential. But there was a lot of performance in that teaching there last night. I was just like, he kind of knew when the red light was on the camera. Like, let me talk to you right here. Let me holler at you right here. You got to get down in the stands. You got to do it this way. Like, come on, Chris. Ease it. We got 72 games.
No. He does it off camera, too, though.
Well, listen, when you're trying to take the next step as an organization who hasn't done much in recent memory, you got to create culture. And a good culture, a winning culture. That's what Chris Paul brings to this, to that Suns organization.
You're
who's
right.
Ready to take the next step.
Absolutely. And there is not a big man he has played
he's
with who he hasn't help. So, just saying. All right, I want to circle back to the
absolutely.
Big news of the day. Giannis Antetokounmpo signing the Supermax extension the Bucks. His agent, Northwestern's own Alex Tsiratsis, I'm going to just keep saying that, told ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski it will be for the full 5-year, $228 million, including the opt-out after the fourth year. That amount of money is enough to make Paul Pierce give out the Ric Flair woo.
Woo, woo, woo.
Giannis made the announcement himself on social media saying, this is my home, this is my city. I am blessed to be a part of the Milwaukee Bucks for the next 5 years. Let's make these years count. The show goes on. Let's get it. Amin, what do you think is next for the Bucks now that the biggest thing is out of the way?
Well, I'm going to steal a line that Paul said early in the beginning of the show, and that's a beacon to all players, whether it's by trade or by free agency, to let them know we're going to be here for a while. We're going to be great for a while because he's here, he's committed. And that lets guys know I'm not committing to a situation that might fall apart in a year or so. And that gives you great leverage when you're going after players who may be looking for more money in other places, but may be willing to take a pay cut to play with one of the best players in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is their window now. This is their window of opportunity. You know, you locked up arguably the best player in the league. I mean, he's been the MVP. He's a top three at least, to say the least. But you create that culture that you've created over the last few years. Now it's about what's next for Giannis in this ball club. They're going to be one of the best teams in the league. This ownership now has the pressure on bringing in the type of cast that can help this guy.
Do you think they're going to win a title?
I think they're going to win a title in the next 5 years. I honestly do. I think they're going to do everything they can to win a title. And I've said this before. There's only five players, I believe, in this league right now that can win a title.
Right.
And he's one of them. And so he definitely has a great chance.
Well, it's going to be interesting. And we heard for years about OG, can LeBron recruit to Cleveland? Do other players, big free agents, want to come to a smaller market, even if there's a big star there? Well, part of the issue there was, well, LeBron was signing these one-on-ones. So guys didn't know if he was trying to recruit them, whether he would be there. Now Giannis has put so firmly his stamp on this city, saying, I will be here. How much of a difference do you expect that to make, Amin?
No, I think it's a huge difference. And by the way, why was LeBron doing one-year deals? It wasn't just because he was bored. It was because he had ownership that he felt like he couldn't trust.
Yeah.
He couldn't trust him to do the right thing. And guess what? He was right because they let go of David Griffin after the only thing he did was just take him to the finals every year and get him their first championship in 7 billion years in that state. So LeBron was right to treat them with that kind of trepidation. That's not what's happening in Milwaukee. They have one of the best ownership groups, not only in terms of how they run their basketball team, but kind of also the societal impact that they want to make as a franchise. Some of the steps that they've done, the Lazary family, the Edens. So this is night and day. The only thing Milwaukee and Cleveland have in common is that they both have MVPs and they both have terrible weather in the winter. But other than that, it's night and day. Milwaukee's a very well-run organization top to bottom, and Cleveland was one that was well-run in spite of what was happening at the ownership level.
I'm going to keep saying it. The $228 million, that's nice. I'm sure Giannis appreciates that. That is life-changing, generational money. He did not do this because of the money. You cannot bribe players to stay. He did it because of the organization and his belief in his teammates and the people there. And by the way, as you say, not just on the basketball court, that organization backed its players to the hilt this summer when they decided to walk out out of that game. I do not know if that would have happened on every team. They not only back them up when they decided they weren't going to play, they helped them get key figures in the Wisconsin legislature on the phone from the locker room. I think that stuff makes a difference. All right, guys, time for our League Pass game of the night. This is, in fact, the only League Pass game tonight, with the others all on national TV. It's Spurs-Rockets at 8 o'clock Eastern. James Harden expected to return to the court tonight, making his preseason debut in this game. So, Paul, we know he hasn't been to practice with his teammates. He reaffirmed that he wanted out, according to our ESPN reporting. So what do you expect from Harden now that it is widely known?
I expect James to be James. He is a baller. You know, he doesn't have to be at practice. He's a walking bucket. I expect him to be professional. I expect him to go about his job because he only can control what he can control. You know, like, he's under contract, and so Houston has to make that decision if they want to trade him. They don't have to, but I expect them to go in there and comply with what's going on, listen to coach, play with John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, until further notice.
Yeah, you know, the deal is, Rachel, these guys are all pros. They know when they step on the court, they're not only playing for their team, but they're playing for themselves in terms of where they're going to go to next. James Harden walks on the basketball court. He plays basketball. He's not going to half-ass that. But here's the thing. Everyone in that locker room knows he's not bought into being here long-term. And that makes Steven Silas' job so much harder, because part of being a great winning franchise and having that culture is a culture of sacrifice. And when you know someone does not want to be there, then that means it makes harder for everyone else to say, well, why am I sacrificing? The best player on the team doesn't want to be here. And so you see things like P.J. Tucker being kind of cantankerous about his contract situation, which I don't think would have happened if they were on the cusp of winning a championship. I think P.J. would have said, well, I'm going to keep this under wraps. But since this is all falling apart, then I'm going to be out loud with it. Those are the problems that Steven Silas has to navigate, and one of the main reasons why they have to move on from James Harden.
It's tricky, too, right? Because when they got John Wall and Boogie Cousins, we all said, oh, okay, James is going to have to change his style of play a little bit. Well, how do you tell James Harden that he's got to give up the ball more, change his style of play, when you're also supposed to be recruiting him, right? The organization would still ideally like him to rescind this request for a trade. So it puts Steven Silas in such a difficult position. I do expect, though, James to ball out, because we know how he feels about playing basketball. Yeah. All right, guys, before we go, I do want to give a shout out to the LeBron James Family Foundation. Oh, yeah. Tirelessly working there in Akron, Ohio, expanding the investment of families in his hometown. Today, they announced plans to open a new community hub with job training, financial literacy education. This is going to be like a rec community center on steroids. So kudos to them for their important work. Thank you to Paul. Thank you to Amin. Thank you to Ric Flair for joining the show today.